Thank you, Ellen. Thank you, Dwight. The Morgan family, amen? That was good. Boys and girls, can I see your yellow cards? What words do I want you to listen to? One. So when I say one, what are you going to do? Little mark. Connect. Little mark. And wonder. So whenever I say those words during my presentation this morning, you're just going to make a little mark. Right? Now, I do have some pencils with me to give out, but Alice, Mrs. Jacobson has some of those cookie things that she has. I saw. Did you see those? She has them for you, too. Now, I have only 7 pencils. My supply has dwindled. But there are some people, there are some children I owe 2 pencils to. Okay? So, not right now. Later on. Actually, you know what? You can do that. Yes, Margarita, you do that because, thank you. Yes, I need you to help me with that. I'll tell you why. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not going to be able to stay and say hi and greet everyone today. I have a baptism this afternoon at Billerica. And then this young lady who's getting baptized is getting married, and I have a wedding ceremony to do. After the baptism. Talk about a double blessing. So after the service today, you can see Margarita and you can give those pencils out as long as they last, okay? Is that all right with you? That's great. That's a big help. Amen? God's good. I thought I could be in 2 places at one time. Yeah. Okay. The wonder of oneness. It's really interesting when we think of community. We think of the community of Jacob. We think of Drake. We think of our community in which we live. Fire station, police station. We think of just community things, community events. And you know, but community is much more than that. It's that. Amen? It is that. But community is much more than that. And where does community come from anyways? Why community? Why did in Andreas's Google word search come up with community with, I don't know, over 1 billion times? 2 billion? 2.25. That's 2.25 billion times. Community. That's amazing. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there is something inside of you and inside of me where we need others. We need community. You can be in this place with all these people and yet not experience community. In fact, you could come into a place like this, come to worship God, and be very lonely. That's true. Am I right? But see, community is a thing. Community is a place. Community is a state of being, in a sense, where loneliness gets shattered. And there are too many people who are lonely. Too many people who are depressed. Am I right? What do I do with my clicker? See, I'm up here and it's gone. Tell me what I did with it. Go ahead. I put it in this pocket. Mercy. I am supposed to leave here at 12:30, but I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. I'm going to preach my sermon and they're going to have to wait for me there. Amen? But please apologize. I apologize for not staying and shaking your hand and seeing your smiling faces. It's just one part of, it's kind of like a payoff for me. You know, we all get payoffs. That's one of my payoffs. To shake your hand, give you a hug if you want a hug. And I love that part, but I apologize for not being able to stay. Community. Where does it come from? How do we experience it? How do we share it? I love this picture of the church. That picture of the church. I want you to notice what they're doing. What are they doing? This picture, by the way, is taken from Russell Burrell's book, Revolution in the Church. This is a picture of a church building with members of the church doing something together. What are they doing? They're lifting a electric power cord, electric cord, and you really can't see, but they're going to, the picture before it, you can see they want to plug it into the power source. What I'm going to say today is nothing new, folks, not really. We might see it a little bit differently, we might think about it a little bit differently, but some of you, this is going to reinforce what you know about community already. It's not going to be anything new to you at all. But for some of us, it's going to be a little bit different slant on what community is about. But community cannot be experienced. Community cannot happen by a man-made process. A man-made process can help make it more likely for community to happen. Man plays a role in helping the Spirit of God to produce community within His body, the church. But people, leaders, members, we can't create community all by ourselves. It's created by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit creates community. Okay? It's kind of like you don't create a wave when you go surfing. Any surfers here? I have never surfed. You know that? Never surfed. Never done a lot of things. Never skydived or anything. But surfing, you don't. What do? You get a surfboard and you watch for a wave and you get ready for the wave. You learn to read waves. You time the wave and you get up on your board and you ride the wave. You do not create the wave. It's the Spirit of God that creates the wave. So really what I'm talking about today is what is our part in helping the Spirit of God to create community. Real, whole, authentic, meaningful community among us. How does that happen? Why? Where does it come from? See, we share community when we share faith in Christ. Amen? You know, when we talk about salvation in Christ, that's a shared biblical truth. Amen? So community begins when we are sharing faith in Christ. You know, all other community is going to end. But biblical community, church community, will live forever. Have you heard? Did you hear that? That what else will live forever? Only people in community. Amen? It's all good. Everything else is going to be gone. We also share community when we have similar values and beliefs. Amen? Seventh-day Adventists have a very strong belief in the second coming of Jesus. Seventh-day Adventists have a very strong belief in the seventh-day Sabbath. And when we share those beliefs, it helps us to share community. So when we share faith in Christ, when we share values and beliefs, things that we value in life and in church, when we share purpose and mission, these things bring community. And when we have a strategy to accomplish the purpose and the mission, it also helps us to share community. And finally, when there is a strategy or a structure to help implement the strategy, when we're all working together through this structure and the strategy to accomplish the purpose and mission of the church, we're talking about community. We're talking about community. For example, if you have a fire in this building, what happens? The fire station is alerted about it, right? And those guys do? Do they have a mission? What's the mission? Get here and put out the fire. They have a purpose. Save lives. Right? What's their strategy? Everyone has an ordered way. They have a plan, pre-thought out pattern. Who gets on the truck? They don't say, hey, are you driving, Tom, or am I? Are you with me? They know. They know what's happening because time is of the essence. They know that they've got to get here. They can't be fooling around with trying to make a plan. They've got a plan in place. They got a strategy in place. They have a structure. And when there's all of that helps them, that fire station, those guys in their own little community, to be community. But biblical community is deeper, is broader, is better than that. That's important. That's great. We need that. We need to feel connected to that ourselves. It was nice to see Dr. Consistus. Probably didn't say that right, but the chiropractor. Wasn't it nice for him to come from the community? You know, it's a good thing to be connected to the community. Connection is another word for community. You got to be connected to have community. You can't be disconnected and feel like you're community. You can't be disconnected at the fire station and be part of their community. Not an effective part. Am I right? Amen. I heard one amen, but that's okay. That's all right. I'm not going to get on anybody about it. Getting back to the Spirit of God, or this quote first. John Ortberg, in his book, Everyone's Normal Till You Get to Know Him, he says this about community. He says, to experience the joy of belonging, amen, and the delight at being known and loved. Can you imagine somebody knows you and still loves you? Last week we talked about as is, and we says we have a struggle because if you really knew me, my fear is, will you really love me? Will you really accept me? And see, when you have community, true community, you are known and still loved. Hallelujah. Yes. The opportunities for giving and growing, and the safety of finding a true home. Wow. Isn't that quite a compelling vision for community? Anybody like this vision? Anybody like it? I mean, absolutely, absolutely. Thank you, Dennis. I have a little object lesson, but I'm not going to be able to use it right now. The greatest need, the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God helping us to create community. Greatest need facing the Seventh-day Adventist Church today is to receive the Holy Spirit. The greatest need to receive that power will church. It will produce the fruit of the Spirit. Right? Amen. Galatians 5, chapter 5, rather, verse 22. Right? For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, amen. Patience, long suffering, gentleness, self-control. There is nothing wrong with it. It's good stuff. In fact, that is a very concise description of the character of Jesus. So the power of the Spirit, the reception of the Spirit will do two things for the church. One, it will develop or produce the fruit in the Spirit in us. Amen? Anybody want to be more loving? Anybody want to have more joy? Wow, I was getting depressed earlier. Two-thirds of the people walking around are depressed. Not us church folk, though. Ah, thank you. You mean some of you might be a little depressed, a little disappointed, and you just barely got yourself to church today? Could be. I'm glad you're here. Oh, you're better for it, amen? Sometimes you have to push yourself. You get down, you get discouraged, you get a little depressed. It happens to the best of us. Never me. What's that? Yeah, well, my wife would tell you different, wouldn't she? Yes. Yeah, I know. Yes, I get depressed sometimes, and sometimes you just have to forget about how you're feeling and start doing something else, and you'd be surprised how depression starts to lead you. Because, you know, we have a tendency of looking at the mountain and not the mountain mover. You know? I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. William did a nice job in reading that verse, those verses for the scripture reading, but guess what? I gave the wrong verses. Actually, they were the right verses, the wrong chapter. I felt bad for him. I felt worse for me. Chapter 2, starting with 21. I apologize. Sorry, I gave the wrong chapter. It's chapter 2 for our scripture reading, beginning at verse 21 through verse 24. Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. You ready? Everybody got it? We'll get to this in a minute, okay? And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! God, you're good. You're pretty amazing. And he brought her to the man. Did I read that part yet? I'll read the beginning of verse 22. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from the man, he made into a woman. Brought her to the man. And Adam said, wow. Well, not exactly. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Verse 24 is the kicker. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. I want you to know something. I want you to see something. Turn, keep your finger there, but just turn one. Go back to Genesis 1, starting at verse 10. You with me? We'll get to Ephesians in a second. All right? I don't know when I'm going to get out of here today. They can't have a baptism without me, I don't think. Verse 10. And God called the land earth and gathered together of the waters. He called, right? Water, sea. What does it say then? Whoa. Go to verse 18, please. Chapter 1, verse 18. And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was... So God's seeing these things He's creating, and He's saying, hey, this is not bad. In fact, He says it's good. You with me? Keep going. Verse 21. What's the end of that verse? Can we do this a little bit more unison here? Come on. And God saw that it was good. Amen. Isn't that pretty awesome? Okay, go to verse 25. You guys are getting good with this. Okay, verse 31. Then God saw that everything He had made, and indeed it was... Okay, so we have not just good, but it was very good. Right? Now, when Adam saw Eve, he said, you know, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This is pretty good stuff, right? But now watch. Go to verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Whoa. Hold on a second. Time out. Something is not good. Hey, where's sin at this point in the timetable of Earth's history? Where's sin? Not on planet Earth, amen? Is everything perfect? But it's not good that Adam is by himself. Wait a second. No sin. Temperature's pretty good. Fruit, food, plentiful. What needs does Adam have? Isn't God complete enough to have for his need? For reproduction? I want to tell you something. That was important to God at the beginning, but guess what? The earth's been populated now. But hold on. Yeah, reproduction dynamic is part of why it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. But listen to me. What does Genesis say? Genesis says early, it says, let us make man in our image and in our... I would like to say that God created Adam and said that it was not good for him to be alone because he was not in community. You cannot be in community if you're all by yourself. There was nobody else for him to even really talk to at his level. It wasn't good. He didn't have a soul mate. He didn't have a woman to complete him. All right, I'm waiting. Woo! Well, I didn't think I was good. Thank you, Lance. Oh, that's Lance. No, that's Dwight. Lance. Oh, who other? Someone else said amen? I don't know your name, brother. Bill, you're all right. You're all right. You are all right with me, Bill. Now, the point is, listen, God is community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they always exist in community. And they always existed in mutual receiving and giving love. Am I right? They're always mutually respecting each other. They always existed. Listen, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, they always experienced community. And part of the reason, probably one of the biggest reasons why God even created man in his image was the community image part of it. So that man could experience what God's been experiencing from all eternity. And that is community. Community is the place where God comes and meets us. It really is. Because community is a place where I am known and loved. Community is a place where I sense that I belong there. A community is a place where I can give and grow. A place where I can say, this is my home. And being with Jesus is always a great place to be. It is. You know, Jesus is exalted here. God the Father is exalted here. The Spirit of God is glorified here. It's a great place to be. So it's out of this. It's perfect. It's a perfect environment. Perfect relationship with God. Sin has not ruptured that one bit. But yet God says, hold on, wait a second. He can't experience community like us because he's alone. And so God creates so that he would experience community with Eve. Community. Adam and Eve. Man and wife. Man and woman. Wow. Together. And you know, they don't fight. Right? It's after sin where their relationship is ruptured. Listen. The vertical relationship with God is ruptured. And what do? They went and hid. They went and hid. That's what sin does. See, authentic community is supposed to help us deal with sin. That's the painful, hard part of community. But it does help us. But listen, they went and hid. And what does Adam say about Eve after sin? It's the woman you gave me. She caused me to do it. We call it the blame game. Really, their relationship is ruptured vertically with God. Their relationship is ruptured with each other because Adam starts blaming Eve and Eve says it's the serpent. And then they kind of both blame God because they play the blame game. That's what sin does sometimes. But when we come back into true community, when we come, see, God wants to restore this in His church. The unity of the faith. That's why Jesus said in chapter 17, in John 17, let's turn to that. Let's turn to that. That invitation, it's a great invitation. Jesus invites us to that oneness. John 17. I don't remember off the top of my head what verse. Starts with verse 20. I've got it marked in my Bible. Listen. Jesus wants His church to be united. United doesn't mean you don't have differences. United doesn't mean you don't never have any conflicts or disagreements. United means you're still going to be fighting. United means you're still going to try to love each other the best you can, empowered by the Spirit. United means you'd be working on the same mission and same purpose. United means so much on so many levels. You know, God can do a whole lot more with a lot of people than with just one person. That's why He developed His church. And Jesus calls us to be one. Listen to the great invitation. I do not pray for these alone. We read this last week too. But also for those who will believe in Me through their word. That's us. That they may be one, as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You. That they also may be one in Us. That the world may believe that You sent Me. Listen, part of being that community of faith is to be a witness to the community that Jesus truly did come. Why? Because He's working out His will and His way and His leadership in our own lives. Not that you're perfect. People out there don't really expect you to be perfect, but they expect you to be honest. And so Jesus is inviting us to have that community always experience with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. That's what He's saying here. That they would be one like we are one. That the world will know that You sent Me. And guess what? When that happens, Jesus is going to come. I'll show you what Ellen White says about that in my closing. I put my slide thing in my pocket this time. My slide advancer. Now, how does this translate to the church more specifically? What does the New Testament say about this community? How does the New Testament picture this community? After Jesus is gone now, Jesus established His church, right? Come on now, hang with me. I'm almost finished. Don't get all antsy on me. I've been up here for 23 minutes. Come on now. Read with me. For through Him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. What's another word for the household of God? The church. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. What's He talking about here? Well, let's finish. In Him, the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God. Hallelujah. This community is part of the vehicle in which God wants to do this in us. But you know what? You can't be part of a building. If you're a brick and you're laying on the ground, you're not connected with the mortar, you're not part of the building. Am I right? See, community is not easy. Community is difficult. If it was easy, we'd all be experiencing community. Listen, the church can exist just fine without community. But it cannot thrive without community. There's a difference. And my God is not a God of pittance and not enough. My God is a God of plenty, and He's got enough. Now I'm preaching. Amen? Wow. Being part, so the Apostle Paul says, you know, it's like a building and you're being fit in. If you've come to Christ, you're saved through Christ and you become part of His body and you're a brick in the building and you're being built up, a holy people being built up. That's being connected. That's having a part of community, being part of that dynamic. The church is God's most prized possession on planet Earth. Most prized possession. And His vision for the church is so glorious, we can just barely get a glimpse of it. But He wants us to have a little bit of heaven on earth. And by doing that, it's through community. Wow. We need help. We need help for this. This doesn't really happen very easily, like I said. Because part of the reason is, since we've come into our being, into having life, we come basically very independent. We come very dependent initially, don't we? And these circles represent, when you come into the family, you are dependent upon your mom and your dad to wipe your nose, feed your face, and change your diapers. You are totally dependent on that. Right? You don't know it, but you are. But what happens when you become a teenager? Let those circles represent when you become a teenager, you want to do your own thing, your own way. You want to be independent. Ladies and gentlemen, even in adulthood, we still want to be independent. I like to refer to it in our American culture. God bless America. I love America, but we are very independent people. You know, and what's what I call rugged individualism. You know, and there's a lot of truth to the individuality that is very important and very healthy. But it sometimes contradicts or goes against, it certainly makes harder sometimes the idea of being interpersonal, which those lines represent. Interpersonal. See how the circles overlap and they're joined together and there's mutual stuff going on the same in each of the circles? See, that's when community is happening. You know? See, when you're just dependent, you're just going with the flow. I'm dependent on my mom, my dad to wipe my nose, change my diaper, and feed my face. Right? You're just dependent. You have nothing to do with that very much. Then as you get older, you want to be independent. But really, the church's ideal, God's vision for the church, is an interdependence. Is you are depending on me, and I'm depending on you, and there's overlapping that we cannot accomplish by ourselves what we could accomplish together. You know, the idea of having the same values and beliefs. I mean, similar ones, big, at least for the big ones. You know, the stuff that drives our life. And it all comes from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, always having community. And He wants to create mankind to experience that community. So we have three to make one. It doesn't add up, I know. But that's why He says to Adam and Eve, two flesh make one. That's Father, one, like we're one. That's what He wants. And it's not going to be easy to achieve it. But it's possible to achieve it by the Spirit of God. I'm going to close with this. Christ's Object Lessons says this on page 69. Ellen White says this powerful statement. She says, Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of Himself in His church. He's not idly waiting, sitting back. He's waiting with longing desire. And then she says, continues the quote, when the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in His people, then He will come to claim them as His own. That is powerful. That is quite a challenge. character development is always a challenge, especially when it goes against my rugged individualism as an American. Am I right? To sense that, wow, I can't do this by myself, I don't like to acknowledge that. Because I want to be strong. I want to be capable. I want to be independent. But when it comes to community in the church, it can't happen by ourselves. It can't. Impossible. Not next week, but the week after, I'm going to talk about more about how community is developed. This was kind of like the need for it, where it comes from and what it looks like. You know, it's been great being with you here this morning, and I count it a tremendous blessing to be your pastor. Tremendous blessing. Just tremendous. And I hope and pray. And the leaders of this church have done such a great job in getting us to where we are today. And I commend you, leaders. I commend you. I applaud you. It takes guts and courage. Not to say you're perfect. God knows. We're not. Amen? But we want the church to march on. We want the church to be that kind of community. Amen? You want that kind of community? Amen? Boy, that's exactly what we need. And you know what? That'll put the spring back in your step. Amen? It will. It'll put the spring back in your step. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we bind our hands together and we ask by the power of your Spirit to help us truly to walk as one with you. Oh God, community is not easy, but it's what you desire for us. And if you command it, if you desire it, you will empower us to do it. So please, God, help us to be in full step with you and with each other. And we will remember to give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.